Hey, it's time now to look through the window of baseball with our good friend Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truden White, the professional builder's choice, and the showroom is in Monterey, and I know they've gotten a lot of action, and we appreciate their support here. Hey, Bruce, good morning. How are you today?
Morning, Marty. How are you?
Very, very well. And boy, Bruce, you know, you watch a lot of baseball. I've been watching it. We're sort of contemporaries in that. You see something different every day. And last night I'm sitting there and I'm watching into the seventh inning and neither pitcher has given up a hit. And I'm just saying, can this actually happen? I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah, that was a great game, and I'm glad they kept showing graphics because you know how superstitious Kruk and Kiper are. They're not going to make a big deal out of this double no-hitter. But, yeah, it was fascinating. I mean, Jacob deGrom, you know, all arms and legs out there, and then you got Peavy. He had a great outing. I mean, he kind of beat himself up afterward, but that he was just being gracious. I mean, he pitched tremendous. It was very encouraging from the Giants' standpoint, and it was a shame the way the first hit went down. I mean, you know, Morse's first step was in, and that kind of ended it because he's not that swift to begin with. And the ball actually cleared him by a fair margin. But it was a catchable ball, and then the next ball, the Wright's ball, is a bleeder, and then it kind of all fell apart after that. But great, very interesting game.
Yeah, very, very dramatic. And everyone who was there, we had two or three people call in from the park. And then, of course, ooh, Alex was on this morning and said clearly the consensus, and Henry wrote it this morning, is that he should have caught the ball. You know, yeah. And I'm not defending him, but, you know, it is a left-hander hitting. You know, when they hit line drives that way, you know how the ball tails away from you. But he never broke the right way on the ball, and it's unfortunate.
He had to get the good break. It was kind of over with once he didn't. But, yeah, right. It can be a little tricky. I think his first instinct was that he had to charge it, which is not the right read. But, you know, and I'm not opposed to him being in the game at that point with no score instead of Blanco. I mean, you need the bat. It hasn't been the most live bat in the world, but he's gotten a few hits lately, so I don't have any problem with that.
You know, it just shows you how lucky you have to be, and you know, the baseball luck, the baseball gods, to get a no-hitter or to get a perfect game, and Blanco making the catch, you know, in Kane's game, and Petit going 8 2/3, and Arias almost falling backwards and getting the last out in Kane's game. There's an amount of luck in this thing. There really is.
Yeah, and there were some tremendous defensive plays last night, all along the way, to help both of those guys out. And it really is. I mean, at least, you know, Sandoval, there was no doubt about that. It was an absolutely clean double to left center, and so much for that, you know. But I remember I was at Sandy Koufax's perfect game, and Bob Henley on the other side pitched a one-hitter. I mean, that's the best game I've ever seen pitched.
Yeah, that was the first one I looked up last night. I texted that out last night, I said, just think Koufax and Henley. But you know, there's an interesting moment in this game because DeGrom looked like he beat out a hit, and Crawford made really maybe one of the best plays he's ever made because he came in on a fairly hard-hit ball and barehanded it and threw a rocket to first base. And, of course, the bang-bang play, they gave it to DeGrom. And here we go. This is interesting. You know, and the replay happens, and sure enough, DeGrom's foot is maybe – 3 inches above the bag when the ball goes into the glove, and they called him out, and that could have preserved a perfect game.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing we've never had in the past.
Really?
I mean, if he'd thrown the perfect game, or the no-hitter, the replay, instant replay, would have saved him, which is exactly what the thing's all about. And, you know, it was close on the replay, but it was still decisive enough. What I always look at, when the ball hits the glove, I'm looking at that first, and then I look at where's the foot when the ball hits the glove, and it wasn't quite on the bag, and that's terrific. I mean, replay hasn't been, you know, universally accepted, and there have been some odd moments, but that was one of the better ones.
Yeah, because that, you know, this may have changed baseball history that we love, and
it
could have given Jake Peavy a perfect game because of instant replay. And I don't think we should just, you know, not that we're ignoring it, but it was one of those moments that baseball's talked about, and Jim Joyce probably said, why couldn't you have it when I was there?
Exactly. I've been all for replay, not the exact execution necessarily, but, you know, certain things you never forget. Jim Joyce, Don Dickinger in the 85 World Series, I mean, you know, the fans always thinking, you know, he blew that ball, for heaven's sake. Can't we reverse it now, you know?
Funny. Hey, DeGrom reminded me of Jeff Samardzija. I don't know if you got the same feeling.
Yeah.
You know, all
kind of gangly
arms.
And
yeah, the hair.
Well, yeah, exactly. Even a little more gangly than Samardzija, a little looser out there. But, interesting kid. He's got some great stuff. That was, you know, again, a fascinating matchup. Almost as fascinating as Bumgarner and Cologne.
How about this? Come on. But Cologne's going for his 200th win today. How about that? 5'11", 283 pounds. And I don't know. I can't think of Mickey Lolich. You just think of Senior Smoke, Aurelio Lopez. Really?
Yeah, I think it's actually 5'11", 383, I think is what
probably. I mean, you know, honestly, but here he goes for win number 200. He's walked 20 and struck out 106, and you better be ready to swing the bat today.
I know. I love it. After all the talk about the hitting, Cologne will scratch a base hit up the middle, and Bumgarner will go 0 for 3. You know, you never know. But both of those guys, this is the thing. I like to watch pitchers hit no matter what kind of hitters they are. You look at Cologne and you realize – he hasn't hit much, and he really doesn't give a damn about ever hitting much, and he doesn't care how bad he looks. But you learn something about the guy there. And, of course, with Bumgarner, it's just like, here's a guy who is going to, you know, maintain his hitting stroke no matter what rules come down, and he'll jack one out every now and then.
Yeah, someone called up last night and said they should have put him in instead of Panic to, you know, really, to, you know, when the tying runs were on base there and that when they rallied against the Mets in that inning. He'll get his – let me tell you something. Cologne will pump strikes. And Bumgarner will get a swing today. I'm telling you, he will get a swing today. You know,
this game could go under 2.5 hours, which is always nice.
Which is what we always hope for here. We like that here at the
either that or 5 hours and 19 innings.
We're in the three dot lounge asking for a Clamato juice and 2 hours 6 minutes. That's what we want.
Absolutely, especially the New York branch. If you want to get there as soon as you can.
Very good. Hey, Jim Thome. Signed a one-day contract. He's going to retire. Slam dunk Hall of Famer?
Not for me. 500 homers should be the benchmark, and I think that's going to be the final word for me. But I've never voted for Palmeiro, and it had nothing to do with his drug association. I just, at the time, watching Palmeiro year after year, I thought he was a fine ball player, but you know, he was no Will Clark, who's not in for different reasons. But and Thome, again, you know, just a fine player. But, you know, in that really upper echelon of guys, he never struck me as one of those guys. So it's going to be one of those things where the stats are staring you straight in the eye, but your heart tells you after watching him that he's no slam dunk. What's your take on Thome?
Well, I think he is a Hall of Famer. The home runs are so dramatic, the number and the RBIs and the fact that he did get his walks. And he was a first baseman DH, no steroid attachment to him, which I think affects obviously a lot of the voters. I think he goes in, and I don't know. I think he may go in the second time, but I'm pretty sure he's going in. I just think that the numbers are just too dramatic.
Yeah, and he was, you know, he was great to the end. I mean, he was hitting bombs right to the end of his career. He was a distinguished player. There was no, in the twilight regret for this guy. He could probably still go out there and hit a couple bombs.
Yeah, he got over 600, didn't he, Bruce? I think he did.
Was it over 600?
Right, Raph knows. John Wilson, 600 for Thome? I thought he got to 600. Maybe I'm wrong. All right, we'll look it up. I thought he got, you know, these... You know, we did an infomercial before my show today about memory loss, so I have to get the jellyfish here. And
you could have featured me on that one next time. Make sure you haul me in for that one.
Really, but I thought close to 600, 612, 612.
Well, okay,
all right.
That's my fault. I should have known that. And you can't argue with 600 homers, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, 612 will put him in. All right.
500 doesn't have the magic that it once did, but 600 is that's a load.
Good. I'm glad I don't need the medicine yet. I can remember that. Hey, Matt Duffy plays today, and we did a trivia question here, and I'll just tell you the people who won. Will have you on Mark Wolf of San Mateo and Chuck Balcom, Raph, if I said Bolcom of Oakland. Balcom. The last AA player to come up for the Giants and actually make an impact. And we looked it up, and it was Pablo Sandoval, who came up from Connecticut and hit 345, whatever, for the Giants. That was the right answer. But Duffy is up here now, and he's a AA player. They're putting him in against Cologne today. He's a clone of Johnny LeMaster, and this is a very interesting kid. People love him. They say he's another David Eckstein.
I'd rather hear Eckstein than LeMaster. I mean,
Well, he looks like him. Let's put it that way.
You see Johnny LeMaster, an old-time Giants fan, pretty much cringe at the sight of him up at the plate. Duffy has a lot more presence up there. Better stroke. Looks like he'd be a decent hitter. I mean, you have no idea, you know, early on, but I just like the way he goes about his business out there, and I'm glad he's in there. You know, panic. You know, yesterday was a good day for him to do something, and he really didn't. And so, you know, they need to get a look at these young guys. It's a shame that Jarrett Parker didn't get a look. He's up and down, but I like what they're doing. As Sabian said, you know, develop as you contend or something along. I mean, they're developing right along as they get in the pennant race here, which is not the way you'd want to do it. But in this case, I think it's great, and more looks at Duffy, the better.
Yeah, Jarrett Parker, at least he doesn't go back to AA the Super 8 in Altoona. He goes to Fresno.
There's a couple Super 8s there, I think.
Yeah, he gets a break there.
Super 7.
Well, last thing, Kirk Gibson is always in the middle of something. So the other night, Friari hits Goldschmidt, fractured hand, and so he's out. Last night, they just drill. I mean, McCutcheon. I mean, it's like they took an arrow and got him right in the middle of the back last night. Mm-hmm. And you know where that came from, and I guess that's Kirk Gibson. But, you know, as baseball gets friendlier, I think we're going to see less of that. But, boy, this one was obvious last night.
Well, it was, but I agree with McCutcheon, who really didn't like the timing. Now, if you're upset about Goldschmidt and you want to make a statement, just do it right away, ideally in that game or in the first inning, you know, okay? We got you back, now we move on. But now, you know, it's a ninth inning, there's, you know, it's a 2-0 count, and it's just, I don't know. I didn't like the timing. At least he didn't throw at his head.
Yeah.
but you know, McCutcheon was pretty steamed, and, you know, I saw Pedro Gomez at the Oakland Coliseum yesterday. He lives in Arizona, and, of course, he's very plugged in. He said the Diamondbacks are just a mess. They have no direction. They don't know what's going on, and It's pretty much a chaotic situation there. They don't do many things right, and I don't think they did that right.
No, and I look, what do I know? But I'd be amazed if Kirk Gibson came back there. I really would.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Tony La Russa's got to be sitting up there going, listen, we got to make some massive changes here.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
That's got to be one of them.
Hey, wild card in the National League is amazing. I now that MLB puts out the standings every day, you've got about six or seven teams vying for actually both spots. It's right now it's the Pirates and Giants tied for the top spot. You got every game today has wild card implications in the National League.
Every game for the rest of the way.
Isn't that amazing?
Great.
I mean, you
know, this whole concept of the one game wild card playoff, it just makes it so important to win the division. I mean, it gets to be, once that one game arrives, it's almost cruel. You know, that's not really the way it should be. I've always thought it should be a 2 out of 3, and then the postseason goes on forever. But, you know, it's an incredible difference between winning the thing, sitting back, getting your rotation set, and then having to play that game. So there's a lot more desperation to it all. And Giants Pirates is like a separate race. You know, they're dead even today.
Yeah.
And in American League, I mean, you know, we were talking yesterday, what if the A's didn't win and they got into the wild card game against Seattle?
Yeah.
Which means in the meantime would make sure that Felix Hernandez is pitching that game, and then an A's season goes out the window in about 24 hours. So I mean, it's a great aspect of the pennant races. I know traditionalists like Bob Costas wish it was still, you know, win or else. And I was like that for a while, but I really enjoyed the drama associated with the wild card.
I do. And look, if John Lackey pitches a game today for the Cardinals over the Brewers and Matt Garza and the Pirates and Giants lose, the Cardinals are now in the driver's
seat.
There you go.
So, more the better. Let's have a six-team race on the final game of the season.
I'm telling you, Bruce, it's coming. I see it coming. All right, have a great day, and I appreciate you being on. We'll talk to you next week when the Giants are in Kansas City.
You bet, Marty. Talk then.
Thanks, Bruce. That's Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle.